music playing from local bands we know on Reverb Radio. It's Pete Jones' radio show. It's live on air. It's Pete Jones' radio show.
We have in the studio some of the most phenomenal guests who have just been dragged kicking and screaming out of the green room and into our arms. We have Annabelle Dunstan, author of Confessions of a Superhost, and we have the amazing Tom McLaren. Now, they've come out together arm in arm. They've put their drinks down, which is a good thing, and they've welcomed each other to the studio. Hello, folks.
Hello.
Hello.
Great to be here.
How are you both?
Fantastic.
Yeah, doing well.
Well, you are, but you're both those things. And I should, full disclosure, I should say that we sort of met in an open mic-y thing at the old sailing club, which is where I heard you. I heard you reading from this phenomenal book, Annabelle Dunstan, and it had the room in absolute fits and rapture. It is so brilliant. Confessions of a Superhost.
You're very kind. Thanks, Pete. Yeah, it was great to see you there. And we had a great night. And yeah, lots of people were cheering and clapping and laughing, I think.
Well, it kind of works. I mean, are you a kind of performance artist anyway, as in like spoken word? Was that not your first rodeo in that sphere?
No, I'd been doing it for a couple of years. So yes, I'm an artiste.
Yes.
And yeah, I love to perform the stories based on my 12 years of being a superhost for Airbnb.
But had you ever done stories of the superhosting before live? Mm. Or was it because I know you've just got this book out, which is what I was sort of hooking on to?
Ah, yeah. Well, I've been building up to it. I've been sharing these stories, performing them, and everyone kept coming up to me saying, are you published? Have you got these in the book? I'd love to read more. So inspired by the lovely feedback from audience, I thought, right, it's time to get the book out. And
yeah.
So, yeah.
It came that way around.
Indeed.
But have you done other stuff that isn't from that, as in live performance, spoken word? So poetry, writing, written word?
No. This is a new departure. A couple of years ago I started, and I just had so many lovely stories, the weird and the wonderful and the poignant, and it just kind of came naturally. I just thought, well, I'll start sharing them with other people.
Now, here's a question. Anyone that comes as one of your unsuspecting Airbnb, you know, guests, if you will, have they any idea that you've actually written a book about this sort of stuff?
No.
Keep that to yourself.
I do keep that to myself. Jeez. Although, as I get to know guests, I do then let on that perhaps they will feature in a story.
Do you?
But if I do get permission, if something happens that's interesting or there's a story to tell. So I have had some guests come to open mics and heard their story being performed.
Oh, really? And how's that been?
They love it, yeah. I mean, other stories, I change names and some details to keep confidentiality.
I'm assuming you do that with all of them, right?
Yeah, it's not an expose tell-all. But the confession is more that I've had these really interesting experiences with basically letting strangers into my house as guests.
Which I think is brilliant. Now, I heard that you started this in Oxford, right, when you lived in Oxford.
I did.
You've moved to Brighton, not literally recently, but not that long ago.
About 6 years ago.
6 years.
So yeah, I hosted in Oxford 6 years and then down here.
Oh, that is even better. So, is there any kind of link? Is it the Oxford crowd versus the people that would come to Brighton? Is there any difference? Is there sort of clientele? You know, I'm just fishing around here. I'm just trying to think who would go to Oxford typically compared to who would come to Brighton.
Okay. Well, great question. Oxford, of course, with the colleges, so there's a lot of academics, PhD
that's
students.
That's where I was going. The smart crowd.
The smarties. Yes. The people that come back for weddings who perhaps studied in Oxford and want to come back and be part of the college for their weddings. So, and then Brighton, of course, we've got the conferences. So I've had people for the tattoo conference, the labour conference.
Of course you have. Could you tell the two apart, by the way?
Close in some cases.
Yeah.
And then Sussex University, actually, there's quite a few PhD students that come and stay with me.
Some people have Gordon Brown tattooed on their inner arm.
There was one. Yeah. Pete, you've seen them.
Giveaway, man. So you would say basically what you're trying to say is it's a colourful crowd that comes to Brighton more so.
I think more eclectic. Yeah, I've had mods down with their mopeds bedecked in mirrors.
Like
and
that.
Down from London, lots of weekenders down for a frisky weekend,
I'd say. A frisky weekend. Whereas you wouldn't go necessarily to Oxford for the same, would you?
Possibly not. More literary festival.
Yes.
Punting on the river.
Yes. This sort of Cheltenham crowd, large. Yeah, I get it. So how do we get this book? How long has it been out? Because I saw that you've done brilliantly. There's a fantastic article in the Telegraph.
Thank you.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Belted. There's one in the Argus, of course.
The Telegraph and the Argus picked it up.
Absolutely brilliant.
You can pick up signed copies in City Books on Western
signed
Road.
Signed copies?
Signed copies.
What?
Limited edition.
Well, how much are they going
get
for?
Get yourself down
ridiculous.
There. $9.99.
What?
It's a bargain.
Come on, stop it now. $9.99. That is a steal.
But if you like Amazon, you can buy it on Amazon for a paperback or Kindle. You can get it on Kindle.
Hang on. Did you say City Books on Western Road?
I did indeed.
Oh, that's
big
the
shout
place
out.
To go, people.
Great bookstore.
That is the place. Such a good bookstore. So good. I remember during COVID, they would do a little desk in the window. And you just like sort of, you had to know the book you wanted, which to me is not quite the best way when you're trying to, you know, quickly get a last minute present for someone. You haven't the clue what to get. But, you know, they were very good. They brought
great.
Me most of the books to the window, which is fantastic.
They're very pro local authors. So, yeah, really, really great bookshop.
Would you like to do a little read through for us? Is that something you'd like? Because, I mean, you were so good at the Sailing Club open mic thing. I would love it if you did it.
I would love to do one for you, yeah.
What
thank
have you,
you.
Got? What would you like to do?
Well, I've picked out one which actually has an oblique reference to the open market, of course, the bustling open market where we find ourselves today.
Well, we do, actually, and it is bustling. Thank you for noticing that.
So I thought I'd press on with that one. It's just a few minutes, so indulge me, if you will. It's called The Pervasive Pong. Baggy jeans, and I guesstimated size 12 Vans. Liam was a skater boy. Down from Watford to check out accommodation, ahead of starting his first year at Brighton Met. Lanky, with pale, freckly skin and a mop of blondish-orange hair hanging over his eyes. He peered out from beneath his fringe to say thanks and that he'd enjoyed his stay. A five-day recce, taking in the level for prolonged boarding sessions, no doubt, and some traipsing around uni accommodation to get the lay of the land. He'd pottered in the kitchen a few times, cooking up a full English breakfast around one-ish, and then the odd stir-fry and veg of an evening. He was due to study hotel management and catering, it seemed. He had a knack for conjuring up some good-looking dishes. I was sure he'd go far. With no booking for another week, I lazily left sorting out the guest room, telling myself it's okay to take my foot off the gas sometimes, particularly those hot, super heatwave days. It was during those sweltering, these houses aren't built for this, I can't work when I'm this hot period last August. It was as much as I could do to flop about in the cooler basement kitchen, glugging down water and placing ice flannels on my forehead. You may recall it was a proper scorcher. A couple of days after Skater Boy had left, I became aware of a slight odour, a smell that wasn't really identifiable, and one that didn't seem to emanate from any of the usual sources. The compost bin under the kitchen sink, the slightly blocked bathroom plug hole, the sweaty sports shoe cupboard, nor the cat food dish. No, this malodour was different. Day three, and it took on a new whiff, a funky, fetid, reeking whiff. The super high temperatures were clearly accelerating whatever rotting process that was underway. As the heatwave continued, I was to be found moving furniture, clearing out storage from under beds, hoying the piano away from the wall, shunting anything that could be concealing the source of this pervasive pong. I sweated as I toiled. Day four, and my search from top to bottom of the house had not yet yielded any clues, though I'd begun to hone in on the guest room. Whilst a cursory search had not thrown up any culprits, I lay in bed that night trying to ignore the stifling stench and clocked that I'd not opened the largely unused cupboard in the far corner of the room. Day five. I did. And oh boy. A wave of nausea passed through me as I leaned into the cupboard. There on a lower shelf was a small blue plastic carrier bag. I gingerly untied the knotted handles and the fetor of decay hit me. Holding my breath, I peered inside, and there, flaccid and pale pink, was a fillet of salmon. A fillet of salmon that had clearly not passed its use-by date, but that had moved on from fishy status to a sort of squishy pâté consistency. Mould on mould had developed, and a green, slimy hue greeted me. #WTF. The next few moments were a blur. I moved like greased lightning, running with the bag held aloft as far as my nose and I could manage out to the garden, where I tipped the slimy salmon remains into an empty flower pot. I stood back, allowing the fresh air to fill my lungs as I recovered from the fishy ordeal. I began to join the dots. Liam was a keen cook. Liam frequented the open market. Liam had evidently bought some fish. Liam failed to cook said fish, nor place it in the fridge. Food hygiene not yet his strong point. The relief to have a smell-free house overrode my indignant, how could he? And I resolved to underline the no food in the bedroom, please, instruction in the ever-evolving house manual. Hashtag no smells here, please.
Oh, yes, come on.
Is that just an, is that one set? How is it written? Is it like in mini chapters and, you know, because obviously we've got copies, but I want you to tell them.
Yes, it's a slim volume of about 20 stories, and then there's a bonus chapter at the end which tells
a bonus chapter.
A bonus chapter.
What do you like? Is that like a hidden track on a CD?
and it tells you how to make how to be an Airbnb super host. So top 10 tips if you're thinking of being a host yourself.
Oh, I love that. That is so good, 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 man. So what's the plan? Because this is out. Are you thinking of writing? Would it be a volume two? Would it be? Would you like re? Publish it with a big fatter version, you know.
Well, I'm always writing new content, so what I'll do is probably test that in open mics just to see what feedback I get. But I've also been invited to appear at book clubs.
Oh, hello.
There's a book club in North Brighton using it as their book of the month.
And what's the book club called? Give them a little shout out.
I think they're called Roundhill Book Club.
Roundhill Book Club, why not?
And they have invited me to come and speak and read some excerpts and tell them about the book.
That is so good. Listen, stick around. We're going to do a true open mic style. We're going to like sort of mix and match a little. Is that okay? Because I just thought, you know, get you both in, which is fab. Tom has just been sitting there just laughing his head off. By the way, Anna in Aberdeen just says, fab story. But she says, but I've suddenly lost my appetite for dinner. Yeah, well, there is a bit of that. Back to Annabelle's story. That's the salmon rigatoni out the window then. Great storytelling. Thanks, Kenny, for listening and tuning in. Annabelle, we've got Annabelle Dunstan here as well, author of Confessions of a Superhost. Best way of getting this book, tell them again.
Just search on Amazon.
Hang on, I haven't put the microphone up.
Is that your production team
it
again?
It is. I don't know why I pay them.
Bring Brett back, I say.
Hey, stop that now.
You can find it on Amazon, and just if you search for Confessions of a Superhost by Annabelle Dunstan, and you can find me on Instagram at hashtag, and then the word hashtag superhost. Hashtag superhost.
Wow, nothing confusing about that.
Nothing confusing.
Good, like
hashtag superhost was taken.
What was it? Have you been working with my producers again? I love it. Would you like to read something else from that gorgeous book?
I'd love to read one. This is a very upbeat one, and it's got a musical theme, which I thought suited the Pete Jones show.
You're thinking on message, baby.
This one's called Could Colin Can Can. As I opened the door, I knew I was going to be in for an interesting time. Colin had arrived, an hour or so late, but here he was, bright-eyed and with a broad, dazzling grin, teeth gleaming white and laughter lines contouring his face, swept back blonde hair and a bouncy, Tigger-like energy, not unlike yourself, Pete.
What?
With one of those faces that lights up a room. Colin was born to perform. He sashayed in and fell in love with the house immediately, commenting on the turquoise accent wall, the lush greenhouse plants and the teal velvet chaise longue. Accepting my offer of a cuppa, he opted for a lapsang souchong, plumped up the cushions on the deep, squidgy sofa, and throwing one long, slender leg over the other, he settled in for a good chat. I already knew from our pre-booking conversation that he was here for the week, performing at the theatre. What I didn't know was that he was here to perform in the Moulin Rouge. Colin was performing the can-can, in drag. I quickly learned that his feet were killing him, weeks into the tour now, and his high heels had caused blisters and aching arches. I wanted to learn more. Colin was happy to share. The can-can dance, when performed by a drag artist, it seems, takes on a new level of theatricality and flair, over-the-top costumes, exaggerated makeup and hair, and, in Colin's words, larger-than-life personalities. The choreography more playful and tongue-in-cheek, with the drag artists adding their own unique spin to the classic moves. I was intrigued. In return for a heavy discount for his stay with me, hashtag support the arts, Colin had offered to sort a ticket for me. And so it was. I was off to the midweek show, Moulin Rouge, here I come. The evening was a triumph, a spectacular whirling mass of feathers, acrobatic limbs executing synchronised high kicks and all in high heels. Fast-paced and high-octane indeed, fierce cutting, almost bitchy, but somehow not putting down humour. A joyous celebration of being who you are, and being who you are is enough. Despite his painful feet, Colin didn't miss a step. I loved it. He'd invited me backstage, and so met me at the Had Seen Better Times stage door with peeling red paint and faded signage. He came out to greet me amongst the throng of post-show autograph seekers. I thrust a bouquet of flowers into his arms and he feigned a mock feint of overexcitement, taking the back of his wrist to his brow. Colin, you were amazing. Hashtag proud host. The dressing room was bustling, the air thick with the scent of hairspray and makeup, and the sound of chatter and laughter filled the room. The walls adorned with posters and photos of shows from yesteryear, the floor cluttered with costumes and props. Several large makeup tables lined the table against the wall, each illuminated by bright lights and mirrors aplenty. Large racks filled with colourful and elaborate sequin costumes, feathered headpieces and accessories, tutus, corsets and tights with pouches, and of course those towering heels. There was a flurry of activity, a chaotic yet quietly focused environment where everyone was intent on peeling off their makeup, getting out of costume and getting out of there. I drove Colin home and listened to his animated chatter, his adrenaline levels yet to settle, and I smiled. I smiled at the extraordinariness of human beings, of being human. Being human means experiencing love, empathy, creativity and growth. We navigate complex emotions, forge connections and shape our world, embodying the extraordinary essence of our existence. And as for my guest, could Colin Cancan? He certainly could, and the world is all the better for it.
Oh, you finished, right?
I am finished, yes.
That is brilliant. Oh, folks, that is so, so good. Annabelle Dunstan, Confessions of a Superhost. Please go all the way to Western Road. City Books is the place to get it. I won't tell you anywhere else of getting it. You can get a signed copy there. She might even do another. I don't know. You're not going to do a sign. Are you going to do a live signy thing?
I will do a live signing thing in mid-April.
Mid-April, that's okay. That's not very long away. Annabelle Dunstan, of course, Confessions of a Superhost. I think the article comes out tomorrow in the Argus, is that right?
It's online at the moment and then the paper tomorrow.
Paper tomorrow.
Thanks for having us,
yeah,
Pete.
Yeah, thanks, Pete.
Absolute pleasure.
Radio Reverb, you know where to go. Head on down to the Pete Jones Show.